The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey y'all, it's Heather. Before we kick off this episode, I want to share something very close to our hearts right now. Like so many of you, Christy and I have been following the devastating wildfires unfolding in California. The human toll, the loss of homes, wildlife, landscapes is all staggering, and our hearts go out to everyone affected. And we know that so many of you are feeling the way we are, which is you want to help, but you're not sure how. But we've decided to take action. We're inviting you to join us. Starting today, 100% of all profits from our merch sales at sinisterhood.com/shop will go directly to wildfire relief efforts. This means every shirt, sticker, tote, whatever you buy will support critical services, providing shelter, food, and support for those who've lost everything. The donations will go to recovery and relief efforts. We'll also be matching them like we did for Hurricane Helene. Thanks to you, we were able to donate over $6,000 to the North Carolina Community Foundation Disaster Relief Fund. With your help, we hope to do the same for folks in California. You can also pitch in directly. We'll share a list of ways to help in the episode description. We know it's easy to feel helpless in the face of such destruction, but we believe in the power of community, compassion, and taking even small steps toward making a difference. Together, we can help bring relief and a little bit of hope to those who need it most right now. Thank you so much for listening, for caring, and for being part of this community. We'll continue to share updates and more ways to help as we find them. And as always, we're so grateful to have you here with us. And with that, here's the show.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, January 10th. Someone invited me to something in February, and I was like, go fuck yourself. It's still 2024.
February? Oh, like, man.
Excuse me? Sorry, what now?
I haven't planned my calendar. I don't go a week out these days, because you never know what's around the corner.
Whenever life is like the Willy Wonka tunnel ride, and there's no way of knowing which way we're going. Yeah, you can't plan far ahead.
Is it raining? Is it pouring?
Is a hurricane blowing? Yeah, probably.
That scene scared the shit out of me.
Light of showing. Yeah, I could. I'm like one of those things where they go, "What could you recite if you were like win $10,000? No mistakes. I could do that one.
You could. Memorized it. I think you could. That and the Bill O'Reilly. We're doing it live. I think you've got that one down too.
Yeah, that's, you know, when people are like, "So you went to law school. Your brain must be filled with miraculous things." Yeah, that. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
One of
my favorite monologues.
We're doing this live. Hamlet. Kind of, yes. We're not, because today is actually January 3rd. It is weird when we record in advance, just because We don't know what, you know, the 10th will bring, but
we always think it's evergreen. This is how it is content. Right now. Yeah, we're like, it's evergreen. We don't need to like be like breaking news, wait till the last second. It's better for everyone if we have a little until the portal opens up and we don't report on it. We sound crazy because we're like, here's some odd but true stories. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, there's ships flying out of the sky like Independence Day. And you guys sound like everything's normal. So I worry about that. Yeah. Just a week out, though, we're good. If it's just 2 weeks out, or it'd be too much.
We're going live from the portal down below.
You know, that's the portal's going down below. That's true, into the ocean.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
the depths.
That's
well,
what I was thinking. Well,
you're going to take us through a journey today. Speaking of, you've curated quite a lineup. Folks have sent us a number of stories from various experiences that run the gamut from horrific to horrific in a different way.
Truly, we will begin and end with horrific things in their own ways.
Yes.
First, though, I have a bit of an update that I haven't even shared with you because I just wanted to read it on air for you to experience along with our listeners. So
I've never heard this. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Are you ready for some information that's going to blow everybody's mind, but especially yours?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I love to be blown.
Update.
Okay.
This is from Erica. If you remember, Erica wrote us last week or the week before about her father and the shrimp calendars.
Yes.
OMG, ladies. Thank you for the glowing review of my dad and I's calendar. We've all listened to it multiple times, and it made my parents and I so happy. And happy parents is the best Shrimpmas present ever. Some notes. Are you ready? The shrimps are alive! The shrimps are alive! The shrimps are alive!
That elevates the shrimp calendar into the fucking stratosphere.
A shrimposphere. Can you believe that these things are hot? These shrimp should be called what they are. The shrimps are alive. You can tell by their passionate black eyes and the love they have for their child. But for real, my dad pulls the pots, and after a rigorous auditioning process, the best looking models are picked. After they come out of the water, they start to turn more of a coral color instead of the more translucent color they are in the deep sea. They are kept fresh and cold and are often a bit wiggly and wily during the shoots. But my dad whispers to them and truly helps their inner models shine.
See, I was wondering why you'd be the shrimp whisperer if it's just like they're dead. No, but if they're moving, you have to be like, come on, buddy. Come on,
you can do it.
It's you're like a director.
A diva.
Like, I can't do this. I can't work under these conditions. He's like, Raquel Welch.
Trailer, my shrimp pot, wherever they are.
Oh my
before
God.
They get ready. One of my favorites is this band photo. That's obviously a real bass player. Pretty sure he also volunteers at his local public radio station. And that drummer is high energy and always late. Yes, I made that special drumhead. One of many reasons my dad refers to me as his graphic design team.
Hell yeah.
Post-shoot, the scrimps do complete their sustainable life cycles, if you will. So
yes, I
think we all know what that means.
But they move on.
They go out in glory, and they're, you know, they live on eternally in these calendars.
And someone out there, if the shrimp, you know, are going to be used for food, which I love a scampi much as the rest person, much as a person's going to take them through the airport security, I love a shrimp scampi. So you're telling me somebody who her father is their shrimp supplier could be eating celebrity shrimp.
Yeah. Chooses not to because I'm sending you some pictures that are some of Erica's favorites of the shrimps.
I'm ready.
It shows them in their all in their glory as well. Go ahead and you look at those because then I have something else. Wait, I haven't even looked at that.
I'm sorry. I clicked on Creedence Saltwater Revival. And it's so good.
It couldn't be better, honestly. Wait, there's another one too. Let me Here we go.
And it's got, I like that it has, you know, the drum head that says shrimp on it. The shrimp is like holding a guitar in a way that I didn't think it was possible.
The Whisperer did it, you know?
The Whisperer has whispered. The only thing that I hate about this shrimp family greeting card that you sent, where it's two shrimp pushing a third baby shrimp in a Victorian carriage while wearing top hats, is that it says this item is sold out and it crushed. I'm crushed because what am I supposed to send people when they tell me that they're having another baby? Yeah.
This is
when that's fucking sold out. Now I'm going to go to get a Hallmark card like some loser.
No, I feel like, Erica, I feel like your dad's got to bring back the shrimp family greeting card. It has 967 reviews, all 5 stars.
Hell yeah. What are you? If someone ever gives less than a 5-star review, give them my phone number and I'm going to be like, what is wrong with you?
I got some notes if they're going to start critiquing the Shrimp Whisperer. Mm-mm. Speaking of, one moment, please. Dun, 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 dun. There is also an amazing PBS special on Erica's dad.
We got to watch this. I'm going to sob.
Probably watch it tonight.
That's true.
I am the Shrimp Whisperer. It's on India. It's from Indie Alaska, PBS originally. We will include this in our show notes so everyone can go and watch. What from just the thumbnail alone is two shrimps, Thelma and Louise style, in some kind of convertible car.
Like a Corvette. It's a luxury vehicle.
It's amazing.
It's really nice. So good.
Thank you,
Erica.
Well, Erica included the PBS special link. Also, it's true. The calendar is historically accurate. And have you noticed the shrimp-themed holidays yet? March 17th is a pretty big one. Okay, I thought I had other notes, but those are the top ones. I'm so happy the shrimps are being well-loved and admired for their beauty, grace, and unabashed humor. Also, thanks for sharing my weird teardrop story and your thoughts on it. My boyfriend, Django, also submitted a story about the spooky house from his dreams and is who turned me onto your podcast. Hope we can catch you live maybe next time you're in Washington. Merry Shrimpmas and a Shrimpy New Year, Erica.
A Shrimpy New Year.
I also make shrimp-themed glitter gel inspired by their intricate color scheme and party vibe. Yes, it's UV reactive. So we're going to need some of that as well.
Hell yeah. Party vibe. It's accurate. I mean, you don't roll around in a luxury convertible like that if you're not trying to party. No. Am I right? Am I right? God, Erica, thank you so much for thank you to your boyfriend for introducing you to the show.
Yeah.
So then now we are introduced to you and your dad. Oh, my life has improved. This is my 2025 calendar in my kitchen.
Yeah, no, it's great. As it should be, because these shrimp, not only am I blown away that they're alive, I'm just, he really earned the name Shrimp Whisperer. To get these shrimp, imagine these, and these aren't small ones. These are, you know, 4 to 6 inches, depending.
They're big enough to like go to be tall enough to push a small miniature Victorian baby carriage. So like pretty tall.
Yeah. And he's able to just, like, you know, we all have a photo shoot before we go to that great shrimp pot in the sky that memorializes us forever.
Exactly. To be captured in our beauty and also treated so well as a Shrimp Whisperer. Well, thank you. God, what a thing we've all been introduced to. My goodness.
Yes, and please let us know when the Shrimp Family greeting card is back in stock.
Yes,
because I will be sending that. Maybe it's just my own greeting card. That's, I think that's gonna become my signature greeting card.
That's awesome.
Well, that was a fun one to get us started, but we're gonna make a hard left. Right into this first story. And content warning. It is gorier than most of the ones we cover, as you'll figure out from the subject line. There is also brief mention of a school shooting as well as discussion of suicide. So just a heads up, this one is a bit grisly. It is from Camille, and the subject line is, "The time I shadowed a crime scene investigator." Hi, Christy and Heather. Fellow, or rather former, Dallasite here, born and raised. My name is Camille, she, her, and I've been meaning to share this story for ages. First, a little context. I started listening to podcasts during my daily commute from Dallas to Arlington for graduate school. Naturally, the algorithm eventually pointed me to your podcast, presumably since I was in DFW and already hooked on creepy true crime and paranormal podcasts. I instantly fell for your storytelling, your dark humor, the way you build a narrative, incorporate your law experiences, and of course, your fantastic voice impressions. Now for my story. Flashback to 2013. I was a sophomore in college, studying criminal justice and sociology, and dreaming big about becoming a criminal profiler, detective, or CSI. Let's just say I might have watched one too many episodes of Dexter and Criminal Minds back then. What I didn't fully grasp at the time was that what truly fascinated me about those professions, and what I deeply related to, was their foundation in studying human behavior, analytics, and critical thinking. More on that at the end. That summer, a police department in a purposely undisclosed Arkansas city opened up an internship opportunity to work alongside their crime scene investigator. For an aspiring detective, and perhaps a morbidly curious young lady, it felt like a dream come true. I jumped at the chance, and looking back, I still hold a lot of fondness for the experience. Well, mostly. That summer internship was an eye-opener. I went to the shooting range with officers and learned to handle a Glock 22. I think guns aren't my thing. My aim was awful and my scrawny arms were sore for days after holding it up all afternoon. I also participated in a police simulation of an active school shooting, trying to identify the threat without fake shooting any innocents. I got hands-on experience swabbing a stolen vehicle for DNA, bagging evidence, and collecting fingerprints, all supervised, of course. But the crime scene photos were unforgettable. Burglaries, accidental deaths, like a woman who tragically cut her carotid artery moving a mirror. Suicides, autoerotic deaths were oddly common, and murders. One gruesome case involved a woman found wrapped in fabric, duct tape, and cooking oil by her horrified roommate. It was the victim's boyfriend, not surprisingly. That summer was a haunting crash course in crime scene work, and one story has stuck with me ever since. On my second day as an intern, the CSI I was shadowing got a call for an 1144, code for a dead body. Witnesses on site reported it was likely a suicide, which was the only reason I was allowed to tag along. If foul play had been suspected, I wouldn't have been permitted at the scene. We rushed to the parking lot of a 12-story apartment building in the massive CSI van, fully equipped with gear and crime scene investigation, in big letters on the side. Police officers were already there, and the commotion was, oddly, non-existent. A man had jumped from the 12th floor breezeway, screaming as he fell, hitting the bed of a parked truck before landing face down on the pavement. Blood was flowing downhill toward the street. After getting clearance to help, I searched his pockets for ID and found not only his wallet, but also a 3-page handwritten suicide note. The note started coherently, but grew chaotic, mentioning struggles with money, drug addiction, and shockingly, being in love with his sister's boyfriend. We learned his mother owned the law firm directly across the street, and though he didn't live in the building, he had chosen this location, perhaps to send a painful message. Had there been an argument? I'll never know. The grim work continued as I helped collect a few pieces of skull and brain debris. During the 12-story fall, his body was surprisingly intact. Not sure what I was expecting. More pieces? More blood? Though his head bore a massive dent, like a smashed pumpkin, from the truck bed, and every bone was most likely broken, as his arm looked like jello when one of the officers picked it up. One officer's cold remark about the man's name, E. Longer, no longer living, stuck with me, a stark reminder of how the job can make you desensitized. That day was one of the most memorable of the summer, and by the end of my internship, I understood why detectives often seem so desensitized. The off-color joke on the scene wasn't in good taste, but it was a glimpse into the emotional armor required to face such grim realities. My CSI mentor, however, was the exception, professional, passionate, and genuinely dedicated to the difficult work of serving others by way of documenting and analyzing crime scenes. Fast forward 10 years, and my career path has shifted entirely. That summer showed me I wasn't cut out for a life surrounded by death. Now, I'm a landscape architect, using those foundations and studying human behavior, analytics, and critical thinking to design outdoor spaces and plant trees for people to enjoy, alive and well. I've happily traded the darkness for greener pastures, literally, and have no regrets. My interest in true crime still lives on through watching shows like Dateline, 2020, and your podcast. Mad respect to the officers, detectives, coroners, and CSIs who do this essential but heavy work. I've been a huge fan and loyal listener since 2018, tuning in every week. Thank you for taking the time to read my story, whether it makes it onto the show or not. I truly appreciate your incredible storytelling and the effort you put into producing such an amazing podcast. Sincerely, Camille.
Well, Camille, I love that you found a career that lets you be around life and but still lets you kind of analyze, study, how are people going to move? Why do they do the things that they do? But that's a good idea to do an internship early on, because you'd rather decide the first summer than, you know, 6 years in.
That's what I was going to say. Good for you for realizing this isn't for me. And, you know, to be a witness to such memorable, horrific images, so sad and tragic, that sticks with you. And maybe you take a hard left into being outside and planting pretty trees and flowers. I get that. And still using all your interests that you liked. But, you know, I echo the sentiments of kudos to anyone that does this work, because it does take a very special individual. And I understand why you might have to develop a grim and dark sense of humor / just way of coping to not, I don't know, just fucking lose it every time you show up at the scene of something.
Right. You really think about that whenever you drive by a horrific car accident and go, oh my God, I hope everybody's okay. That's terrible. And, you know, even the family members, you know, we go to the hospital, whatever. But that guy that drove the ambulance there that saw that shit, he's got to drive the ambulance somewhere else where something else horrible has happened. So, yeah, I really send a lot of warmth and love to people, to that care industry, of coming in either when the incident's ongoing or coming in afterwards, because what a CSI does is vital to getting justice, you know, to being meticulous with your job and, you know, desensitizing yourself so that you can completely focus and you're not so upset. And, you know, you're like, I got to hear, I'm strictly business, because in the end, you know, you kind of suppressing that's going to let you do it. But it takes a special soul. And just like it takes a special soul to be able to design and grow things, you know, we all have our place to shine. And I think we often get like frustrated with ourselves if we chose a path, you know, early on and go, oh, well, this isn't working. I'm such a failure for switching. And it's like, do you know how strong you have to be to like decide to do something completely different? Like, that's incredible, especially early on. And you're like, well, I thought you signed up to go do this internship and now you're changing your mind. It's like, Yeah, that's exactly why I did the internship.
I am, because of the things I've seen. And most people aren't, I would say most people aren't cut out for that. It takes a certain person. And
certainly
we appreciate all that do. And Camille, thank you for sending this in. It's I remember we once got another Freaky Friday from someone that I believe did CSI cleanup work after. That was also, that one's also stuck with me. Any of these, I mean, I'm just reading it and it sticks with me. So I can only imagine what everyone that sees this, how that just affects them forever.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, thank you, Camille, for sure. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average,
Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Well, this next one's from Becca, and it's called Thank God for Confrontational Friends. Hello, ladies. Thank you for all you do and the platform you provide for stories like these to be shared, so we know we are not alone. You're such a great combination of funny and empathetic that makes it so rewarding to listen. Anyway, let's get into it. In December of 2023, I was breaking up with a guy. Let's call him DA for delusional asshole. He was becoming very accusatory of all kinds of things. He thought I was breaking into his house to just make it messy, that I had his financial information and was stealing, that I was cheating, and that all of my friends were involved as well. I later learned this started to happen after he started drinking again and stopped taking his antidepressant. Initially, I wanted to help him, as I have personal experience with psychosis and know how it can be. But he was having none of it, and I was having no more of this cycle of apologies to getting into my face about anything and everything. He even came to my house in the middle of the night to yell and would not leave even though it was freezing outside and I was definitely not letting him in. That was police phone call number one of quite a few, and I blocked him on everything. I was so happy my roommate slash best friend was with me at this time, especially since the police didn't get there until after he left. The next time he tried this, I was by myself and was beyond terrified. I could hear him constantly revving his engine in the driveway as I basically huddled under my blankets and avoided the windows so he didn't know I was there. This behavior came to an end when he came by in the beginning of February on my birthday. I was still asleep, but my roommate was not, and she was livid. I didn't care what he wanted, no matter what it was, and she had lost patience with him a long time ago, and I think would have protected me by getting his ass out of there, even if I was in a forgiving peace of mind. Now, a couple of things had changed in our house since the first time he came by uninvited. One, we kept the screen door locked as another barrier to the world. And two, we now kept a can of bear spray in the coat closet. My wonderful roommate pulled out that bear spray and told him to leave. When he didn't, she sprayed away. It was rough being those neighbors that everyone was watching when all six police cars came. His 911 call to them insinuated he had been shot, hence the response. It was worth it, though. Since then, he has not come by the house. I wish I could say that is the last I heard of him, but he has continued to call and leave voicemails. Because, in case you didn't know, if you block someone on your phone, they can still leave voicemails. In October, I found an app, Call Control, that disconnects him, and it has given me such peace of mind. However, the biggest peace of mind has been my support system, especially in my confrontational best friend. I've added a cute photo of my dog and a link to the Ring video. Stay safe, ladies, and go buy some bear spray.
I have been wanting bear spray for the house. So,
oh, well, you
thank
know,
you, Becca,
if
for the
candles,
rec.
Others want bear spray. I've watched this Ring video.
I have not.
I'm going to let you watch it. Okay. And then we'll discuss the odd fucking audacity.
Okay,
that's
I'm watching
all I'll say.
Hell yeah. Fucking go! Fucking go! Call 911, you bitch! Not you, your roommate's amazing. He's the bitch.
My eyes.
Uh-huh.
Shit. He's lucky she didn't blast that thing for longer, because I would have been
like and held body
it.
Spray in him.
I would have held it on his face. Because he is trespassing. That is your curtilage to your property. You are trespassing on someone else's property. Now he's sitting on your bench. No,
yeah.
He is in your curtilage. Spray his ass again. I live in Texas, so we have this castle doctrine. You could spray him with a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, just bear spray when people come to the door around these parts.
I'm going to climb through this Ring doorbell and spray him myself.
Right?
I'm irate.
I was incensed.
And I'm irate right now.
I don't know that we'll share this on socials for obvious reasons. But
for privacy purposes.
Yeah, but he has something in his hand. He knocks on the door. The roommate answers. She's like, leave. And he said, let me just give this to her. And she goes, I'm telling you right now to leave. She's got the can. He won't. She sprays his ass. But then the best part is she sprays him and he calmly shuts the door. He calmly pulls out his phone.
Obsessed.
Dials 911.
I need an ambulance.
And then it's like, I've been assaulted. Calmly doing all of this. Then sits down on the bench. I can't drive. My eyes. I can't even see. She had a weapon. Bitch, she sprayed you in the face with
something. It's her fucking house.
It is a weapon, but let's get a grip on the, you weren't shot, okay?
No. And you know what? That is the type of thing a manipulative psychopath does, because he wants six police cars to show up and shoot the roommate. He is lying to the police officers.
And embarrass them. And get all the neighbors out there and cause the big fucking stink and instill fear. It's everything about this video, I'm like, everything you said about this man adds up 100%.
Also, it's January. It's Stalking Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. Like, we did an entire interview with our friends from Spark last year, and we spoke with Debbie Riddle, who's Peggy Klinke's sister, and covered Peggy Klinke's story. And, like, people like this don't stop. And the really unfortunate thing is that oftentimes the police response is to be desired, leaves a lot to be desired. So, sadly, women have to equip themselves because, I mean, men do get stalked as well, but statistically, primarily it's men, primarily it's ex-partners. And to have something like this, they also make PSA gel pepper spray that's like the size of a small fire extinguisher, because gel, you can see where it goes and it sticks and it doesn't spray back at you. So you can get a little thing like that, spray his ass in his mouth and his eyes.
I'm getting one. Because that's why I've always been hesitant to do pepper spray, because if it sprays back on you, you're fucked too. The gel is, I'm ordering some today.
Let's do it. They also make colored gel so you can see where it goes. Like, if it's a certain color, that's what I'm like. I'm trying to get someone's face like blue and them on the ground crying. Like when someone opens a bank bag and it stains their face. I'm like, it's the blue guy is the one that tried to grab me.
Neon pink. Mm-hmm. So anybody can see his ass, a helicopter trying to find him. They're going to find him.
So, yes, Becca, your friend slash roommate is an amazing angel from heaven. Yes. We should all be so lucky to have somebody who's like, you need to step back or I'm going to spray you. And then when they don't step back, they follow through on, it's not a threat, by the way. It's a promise.
Yeah.
She keeps her word.
All she did was keep her promise. And for you to sit on the bench, by the way, the juxtaposition of what's going on. You're going to glitch out.
My eyes are twitching. I'm so incensed and enraged.
The juxtaposition of what's going on versus the very cute, thankful wreath that's on the front door.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's very well decorated. But no, it's offensive to me for him to sit there and go, I wasn't even doing anything. I was just trying to give her. No, you're trespassing. You've been told to leave and you're trespassing. So now you get sprayed in the face, bitch.
Also, this isn't the first time. So don't act like you're some kind of fucking martyr.
Here's the deal. I already said this is a third thing. Coming to somebody's house uninvited, catcalling. We're not doing it anymore. Mm-mm. We're leaving it behind in 2024. And by we're not doing it, I mean we all are not standing for it. So mace him in the mouth. Spray him in the face. You did nothing wrong. You've done nothing wrong. Nope. We'll all support you.
And I hope you had a great birthday.
Yes.
What a fucking... Also...
That video is
intentional.
Aces.
He knows he's doing it on her birthday. You know... I hate this man so much. Also, unattractive. So...
Horrific.
Not even a little bit of a redeeming quality.
No, I hope what someone's like, it's the new year for you. I guess God will determine if it's happy or not. Like, that's how I feel about this man. I'm like, have the fucking life you deserve, you fucking scumbag. So thank you for sharing this, Becca. I'm sorry you had to go through this. It is horrific when you're being stalked. It's scary. Please keep documenting. You are right to have recordings of this. Like, your roommate did nothing wrong. And I say spray him more. If anything, the only thing she did wrong was let go of the trigger too soon,
right?
In my opinion. She should have emptied the canister in his mouth.
Just, especially once he sat down.
I would have opened the door again and said,
standing at the door.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. It's fine to give somebody a fair warning, but in fact, I would argue you don't have a duty to retreat, because that man is he's trying to enter your home and your dwelling. Fuck him.
Yeah. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Spray him in the face.
Fuck him so hard.
Also works great too if you don't have bear spray around.
And thank you so much for the cute doggo pic.
Yes.
Such a sweet baby. I can't tell quite what the bandana says, but if it's Queen, rightfully named, because perfect little sweet face.
Sweet baby, sweet baby.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in, Becca, and give your roommate a high five from us. Well, this next one's from your daughter.
Hello, darling.
I don't know if you saw her over the new year, but she's got some news.
I missed all this, but thank you for writing it in, dear.
Well, your daughter didn't give a subject line, but you have named it on behalf of her. UAP through the family grapevine. Hello and happy new year. I have some quick intel regarding the drone sightings in New Jersey that I found interesting. My cousins, who have made lives all over the U.S., returned to my grandma's house to celebrate Christmas with the family, and it was quite the meeting of the minds. Two cousins are Marines, one cousin works for an aircraft manufacturing company, another cousin is in the Navy and spends most of his time on a submarine, and another is in the Air Force. And me? Well, I work with kids. So while my cousins are flying in the sky or the depths of the ocean, I'm usually getting open mouth wet coughed on by a child. Anyway, the topic of the drones came up. Aircraft company cousin wanted to know thoughts. Air Force family members scoffed and said, it's all just planes and people are dumb. Submarine cousin wasn't quite sure. But one Marine cousin had the best intel. They said they received an email months ago from a very high up military member. This email told all raiders that they must report all UFO sightings. Marine cousin said they thought it was a joke or spam or something, but it was not. It was an official email letting the Marines know that they have to be mandatory reporters for UFOs. Only the higher up of the two Marine cousins received this email. Very interesting indeed. Another side story. I have a friend in the Navy that flies fighter jets and sometimes is stationed on an aircraft carrier. He witnessed some sort of UAP fly through the sky and then submerge itself in water. A few years later in 2020, I met with a student through Zoom to work one-on-one. He relayed a story of almost the same encounter that he witnessed with his dad. He was super excited when I told him my friend saw the same thing. It must have felt nice to feel vindicated. The same student once asked me if I'd had pizza for lunch. When I said no and asked why, he said, because you just look a little fatter than you did before lunch. Gotta love kids. I gotta be honest, UAP and UFO stories aren't really my thing. I believe two things to be true. One, there has to be some sort of other life in the universe. It's far too vast for Earth to be it. Two, the military has technology and or weapons we don't know about. And you know what? That's just not my business. I love a good ghost story and most things paranormal. Think about it. You saw a ghost, now you have a good spooky story to share. But if you saw what you believe to be an alien, your whole worldview has now shifted. And that's a lot. No thanks. And yet this info keeps falling into my lap. I'm so happy to be able to share it with you both. I hope 2025 brings so many great things. Love you. Bye. P.S. If my cousin shares a screenshot of the email, I will send it.
Oh, that's the next level. If we got like leaked info from the military, I would feel so chosen.
We're already on a list, but we'll be on a different list. Do you think the other cousin was like, you got an email and I didn't?
He's like,
okay, all right. Well, guess I didn't make the cheer for that email. Jay.
I see where I literally rank. Okay. Interesting. I'm going to have to go talk to my commanding officer. I love this that Anonymous is just trying to have Christmas. And it's like, did you want an ontological crisis on your plate as well? And it's like, what are you guys talking about?
From you all hear? Branches of the military, we've all teamed up. And you're like, I got sneezed on by a kid with COVID today.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're all the Avengers. You kind of wonder, like, what's going on, guys? But you know what? I think, much like the Avengers, you always have to have somebody that's got their feet on the ground, that's not tapped into it, to be your outside skeptical observer and or, you know, just realistic observer. So, Anonymous, while you may jokingly downplay your role, first of all, you're helping shape the next generation who's going to be flying these planes and piloting these submarines. So in a way, you're doing all of that as well.
Absolutely. Thing that struck me as interesting, too, was the discussion of if you saw a ghost, now you have a spooky story to share. But if you saw an alien, your whole worldview has shifted. That could also be said for a ghost, though.
I was going to say.
So I think it's whatever you're more comfortable with. Anything that isn't us, if presented with, we're like, what the hell is this now?
I like it to be like, if you see a ghost, it's normal. The ghost of Abraham Lincoln comes in and is like, change your ways or the world will end. And you're like, what a spooky experience. And it's like, well, you kind of have to grapple with like, is that really Abraham Lincoln? Is just the soul extend past the body? But Anonymous is like, no, it's like a ghost. They're like, oh,
but if you see
like
an alien, now it's time to start asking some questions.
Oh, shit. I
love
it.
Well, it certainly is time to start asking some questions.
I have a lot.
And people are asking them. We're just not getting the answers that we want.
No, but I think we will.
It's coming.
They're going to tear a hole in the sky.
Anonymous, your cousins are the answer here. We need some leaked information from the military.
Honestly, Anonymous is going to learn first. We're going to get it via email and be like, oh, God, we don't have time to act. But thank you. I appreciate when you got inside info, you decided to share it with us so we could share it with everybody.
Thank you so much.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, this next email is from August, and the subject line is the station, the train, and the long tunnel beyond. Hello, hello. My name is August. Yes, my email address says otherwise, but August is what my beloved great-grandma called me since she couldn't pronounce my birth name, so that's what I started to go by in her honor when she passed away. I'm French, and I've been listening to your podcast for years now. You two have led me to places and topics I would never have explored by myself. You also taught me to be kinder to myself and to others, especially when it comes to true crime and not remembering victims for the worst thing that happened to them. I initially came to true crime through the classic mediocre white men giggling at grisly details pipeline, so your content gave me a bit of a whiplash at first, but I needed the wake-up call. You've been in my ears for so long and make my daily commute and chores so much livelier. So thankful for gals like you and so many others in the true crime podcasting world who approach cases through a lens of factuality and compassion. And also, please come back to Real Housewives of D&D. You got me into it, and now I need more of you too. Moving on from the praises, let's get into it. Content warning for loss of a loved one, sickness, grief, and domestic violence. I'm just now pausing the episode 322, Near-Death Experiences, less than a few minutes in, because I feel compelled to share my story with you. Ever since I was little, I've had a very particular dream every time a close family member passes away. It's important at the start to note that we are not a religious family. I can actually trace my ancestry back to some semi-famous witchcraft accusations / accused, and I wholeheartedly wear that heritage as a badge of honor. So yeah, on principle, not big on religion as a power structure. So we don't have a specific spiritual framework, and more importantly, no imagery ingrained into us from childhood. So here's how the dream went the very first time. I'm around 6 or 7 years old at this point. I'm standing on the train platform at the station of a subway line that runs right below my street. It's an approximately 300-foot platform with big curved walls tiled in all white. The platform is empty, except for a single man a long way away from me down the platform that I'm standing at. The train comes into the station, and we both board it. It's all white and blue and familiar in there. As I sit down, the doors don't close. The train doesn't move, and the man comes and sits across from me. It is my grandfather on my mother's side. He's a man in his 50s or so, with medium long brown hair, a cheeky, crooked smile, and a faint scent of cigarillos about him. Now, what you need to know is that my papi, a term of endearment for grandpas in French, has been very sick for a while. I've basically known him as being in and out of the hospital my entire life. He wasn't particularly in a bad way at the time when I had the dream, though. This has been corroborated since then by my mother, his daughter. So anyway, my papi chit-chats with me for a bit. We are a talkative bunch, have you noticed? And then he tells me that he is going on a trip and that he isn't coming back. He tells me he is sorry he won't be able to take me and my brother to the puppet show in the park on Sundays anymore, and also asks me not to be a stranger to his wife. My grandpa remarried when my grandma died very young, and his second wife and my papi's children always were, let's say, at odds. He then tells me that I need to get off the train now and that I can't come along yet, but that we would see each other once again in a while. And so I get off the train, the doors close, and off it goes into the tunnel. When I woke up, my mom told us that our grandpa had passed away in his sleep in the early hours of the morning. I didn't cry, which didn't go unnoticed. I was usually a very emotional child. I 100% internalized it at face value as a normal experience, as if everyone sent a goodbye dream sequence to their family as they depart from this life. And so, I didn't tell anyone about the dream, not for another almost 20 years. Fast forward to my mid-20s. The dream has come and gone a few times since my grandpa's passing. And so, one morning, I'm on vacation with my college friends, and my mother texts me to tell me my great-uncle passed away the night before. I'm still half asleep, not on every circuit yet, and so I reflexively text back, "I know." That night, I had the dream again. Same platform, one person stands away from me, we board some doors apart, then we meet inside for a short chat. But since that one initial version, now my grandpa is there every time to meet the new passenger. Sometimes other people who've already passed are there too. And on some rare occasions, the wagon is downright crowded to greet the new person and take them along the tunnel. Back to my mother. She texts back, "Thought so." And now I am fully awake and very confused. "What do you mean, thought so? Don't drop cryptic bullshit on me before I've had my morning coffee." How's that for a mug slogan? Now fast forward a few weeks. I'm having dinner with my extended family, mostly my mom's side. The conversation drifts to be about our family's, let's say, quirks. Lots of paranormal experiences, premonitions, deja vus, nagging feelings, etc. However, lots of people in your audience can probably relate. Hi, Sinister Fam. And so, that night, I blurt out my recurring experience about the train and my grandpa that's been coming and going for 20 years now. Dead silence. I think to myself, "Oh boy, you goofed up." My uncle breaks the silence with a flowery string of expletives that I dare not try to translate, and then they start sharing their own experiences of the ghostly kind. Turns out, most people on my mother's side are somewhat tuned to certain frequencies, so to speak. My uncles share a few stories, and then my mom, and then they drop this bomb. My grandma, the aforementioned passed away young one, and the first wife of my psychopomp grandpa, was apparently very sensitive to spirits slash souls slash people passing away from this life, be it in dreams or messages from beyond while awake. Unexplained knowledge of things or events, etc., which my grandpa regularly tried to beat out of her, literally. Now that's something I did not need to suddenly learn about him, but it's an important detail for my closing argument below. While being fairly ecumenical and open-minded, my family had tacitly kept this information from my generation of children for so long. They did not want us to think that our grandpa was a bad person, arguable in light of that new intel, but that's beside the point. Or that our grandma, their mom, and by extensions themselves, was a loon. So, here's what I think about all this. One, I always was and always will be at peace with my strange subway train dream. Two, yes, I grew up to be more than a little witchy, but that's basically officially in my genes. Even more openly so now that I know my family is chill with it. Again, they had their own trauma about how my grandpa went about that stuff when mentioned. Three, I 100% truly, genuinely think my grandpa has assumed the role of ferryman of sorts to make amends for the horrible treatment of my grandma when they were both alive. I'm not big on sin and punishment and eternal fire, so that's not quite in the sense that I'm saying this. I think he's specifically making amends to us, his family, for basically cutting us off from that part of our shared heritage when he took it upon himself to silence his wife, and I can only assume his children, about all things spirit-related. And with that in mind, I also strive to know more about my forebearers. I studied our history, our lost customs. I found a lot of folk healer ancestors, and a lot of people in my family are in the medical field today. See a pattern? And I'm keeping an eye on the younger generation for when/if they show signs of being sensitive themselves. I have another story about my younger cousin that's more on the horror movie level of paranormal experiences. Think ghost of a pale girl in a frilly dress, a medium with some scary revelations and objects flying across the room. I'm part of that story, so I can attest to a good chunk of it with my own two peepers. If that's something you would be into, your word is my command. I just need to get their permission before writing it down. And if you ever come to Paris, please shoot me a message. I can give you a children appropriate if needed tour of the Père Lachaise Cemetery you won't forget. Much love to you and your loved ones. And if my story makes it on the pod, look, Ma, we're famous.
I love dream stories. And this,
yeah,
this is a good one. I'm glad you find comfort in it and not fear of like, oh man, that means grandpa's going to go any day now. It sounds like it happens pretty quickly.
Right?
Like, they pass and then it comes into your dream and then you get a call saying, hey, by the way.
And you're like, yeah, I know.
I was talking to them in my sleep. I know.
Me and them and grandpa were just working it out and like, they're fine. Like they're on a train. I saw them. That's an interesting, I feel like journey for grandpa, who am I to say that that's not what's happened here? Cause I think it makes total sense in a cosmic way of, you know, wanting to somehow forge a connection now that we're living and he's passed on because he stopped the connection of when he was living and other people had passed on. So, you know, kind of do what he can to help ease the transition, you know, given his acts in life. Like you said, not really like as a punishment, but almost as a like, I want to do this to you. Like, please let me do this for you.
Yeah. There, a goose sent some pictures too of the subway from the dream or from where they actually lived that made it to the dream. And it's exactly how you would imagine, like the blue seats and all of that. And it's interesting too, like, you know, a vehicle of transportation passing through and people getting on and off and stuff. I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, definitely. It gives you that kind of a comforting metaphor too of him being like, I'm going on a trip I'm not coming back from. You can't go with me. And it's interesting. It's like maybe grandpa chose that whenever Auguste was younger because it's like, oh, he knows what a train is. Like he understands the concept of a trip and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's interesting. I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket.
On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, this next one's from Becca, and the subject line is, I started my new year with a reversed episode 13.
Which I didn't know could exist until
Happy
now.
New Year. Bless your heart. Christy and Heather, Happy New Year from Becca in St. Louis. Looking forward to spending another wacky year with you as my senseis. I wanted to send you this Freaky Friday story, in the truest sense of the phrase, anonymously. But I thought, if Christy can share her experience with all of us, the least I can do is share this in solidarity. My partner had a New Year's Eve gig in Kansas City, so we drove down Tuesday and planned to drive back Wednesday after a lie-in. A little backstory. I, historically, am regular, as in, he and I both know our schedule based on when my body does its thing. It doesn't help that I have a steady diet of tacos and hot sauce, but whatever. Anyway, I've been tracking a phenomenon this year. Whenever I travel, I cannot poop for the life of me. I spent a week overseas and wasn't back on track for a month. Another weekend at a conference in Phoenix? Nada. Visited the same city 6 months ago and was a dry gulch until a week after we got home. It's wild. I guess it's just a side effect of getting older. I also have a bit of a phobia regarding this, like Heather. So maybe my body is subconsciously shutting down the trauma until it feels it's safe again? Your guess is as good as mine. So, for this short trip, I ate my way across the state all day Tuesday, having no worries whatsoever. An entire bibimbap bowl with 5 tablespoons of sriracha? Done. 2 gas station hot dogs? Lay them on me. 4 shots of espresso? I got this. Gig comes and goes, all is well. Wake up at the hotel earlier than I wanted to, so I sneak out of the room to grab a mimosa, more espresso, and a breakfast plate. Ooh, look at the time. Time to go wake up my partner so we can make it to checkout. Head to the elevator. Uh-oh, what is that? Okay, waiting for the elevator, thinking, this is odd. Get on the elevator, and I am about to shit my pants out of nowhere. Wait, this can't be happening. I never have these issues while I travel. I've spent a lot of time traveling this year, and I know my body. Get to our floor, whipping out my key card. Try not to be rude to the house cleaning staff as I bound between them, my legs held together like chopsticks. Y'all, my key card doesn't work. I'm saying, fuck, under my breath as I pound on the door, and my partner doesn't answer. I have to call him 3 times before he finally answers groggily, and I shout whisper into the phone that my key doesn't work and I can feel myself about to shit my pants. He shuffles to the door, which seems like an hour, and then he asks me if he can pee first. I'm sorry, sir, what? I scream no at him, and here comes my nemesis. This hotel is new. We were super impressed by the amenities, the decor, and overall newness of everything. Our only negative observation was the extremely ungainly barn door put on the bathroom that has a 2-inch gap between it and the door. The night we checked in, my partner asked me to please turn up my TikTok volume so he didn't have performance anxiety. There was no time to issue such a warning this morning, so I barely lugged that damn door shut before all hell broke loose. I am still shook as I realize how close I came to utter disaster. We took only what we needed on this trip because what could go wrong so close to home? I, just to be precautious and trying not to think too hard about it, put on last night's leggings and stuffed the offending ones deep and as far into my carry-on as I could. With my dignity partially restored, we set out, but my partner, missing breakfast, was hungry. So he happened to pull off at an exit just to find something to eat. And what did he find? Missouri's first ever In-N-Out location. I'm sure I paled as we pulled in. The parking lot still had construction dust in it. My partner was so excited to eat, I followed him in and ordered a single and fries, ate two bites, and fretted the entire 4 hours home that I'd have another incident. I passed it off to him that I'd already eaten and that I wasn't hungry and save it for later. We get home, unpack the necessary, and I forget all about the single I'd left in the car. Cue this morning. Easing into our grueling schedule, I leave around 9:30 to run errands, and as soon as I get into the car, I lock eyes with the insidious burger. Dun, dun! As I'm packing up my stuff to go inside the local grocery store chain, not unlike an Albertsons, I take a deep breath and pick up the burger, still in its wax paper, and ceremoniously toss it into the trash can at the store's entrance. And my final thought was, there but for the grace of In-N-Out go I. Thanks for always being so open and transparent with your listeners. I know that, as far as I'm concerned, this is largely why I started listening and why I have stayed. Whether it's funny or heartrending, you represent each of us in your honesty, and I speak for the whole community that we love you for it. And hopefully, this is the end of my story with In-N-Out. Happy birthday, Christy. Love, Becca.
I'm dying. I muted myself, but oh,
man. You should have just laughed on through, baby girl.
First of all, please, somebody, maybe on my tombstone, there but for the grace of God.
In-N-Out.
There but for the grace of In-N-Out go I.
Yeah. Like that's gotta go on my
tombstone. So good. Oh my gosh.
You did do a reverse.
I feel like between the two of us, we did a full circle moment. You know? Like
yes.
I discarded in the Albertsons parking mm-hmm. lot. You, not Albertsons, but you threw away the burger and therefore the circle's been completed and now it won't happen again.
No, your souls can be freed, both of them. I love it.
Oh man.
That's incredible. You guys are like a palindrome, just like one and then the reverse. It's just like race car, just flip it. It's the exact same.
I also have this issue while traveling, but I kind of have that issue all the time. So then if I had four shots of espresso, period, mm-mm. I think my life would end.
Yeah.
I don't think I could handle
that. One way to put it. Like I would ascend out of my body. Like on The Simpsons, they're just like souls come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Oh, man. But all that hot dogs and breakfast place, mimosas, you did it all, baby girl.
I mean, just like you're like white knuckling your life. I have never related more to this.
Dude.
This is so good.
Also,
just like waddling.
Banging on the door and you're the way I would. Oh, man.
Like, just kick that bitch open like fucking Patrick Swayze.
Dude. Like, how are you?
I'll kill you.
Get to the door. And I know exactly the barn door bathroom you're talking about.
Yes, we've probably
stayed
there.
We have talked about them many a times on tour because what the fuck? It's not even a door.
Mm-mm. This is capitalism. They're like, hey, guys, it's a new sleek hotel that we're saving money on by not installing real doors and making the room super tiny. And so we have to have sliding doors because a regular door with the bathroom that can close where you can shit your brains out in privacy and not ruin the magic between you and your spouse costs too much money. We couldn't put as many rooms in and charge you the same amount for a smaller room.
Do you know how many times Tommy goes to the lobby on tour? Like he...
You have to.
He'll just be
with
like
a door
going
like that?
Downstairs.
They're so flimsy, though. The first time I stayed in a place like that, that at least I remember it personally affecting me, was when Paris and I, back when I worked at the law firm, we had our like Christmas party at the Star in Frisco, the Cowboys facility, and you could like get a room at the A-Loft nearby, and there were barn doors. Mm-hmm. And I had only been dating this guy a couple months, and now we're in this hotel room, and I'm on the toilet, and I can see through a crack this hot guy that I finally got to date me, just like on the bed on his phone, and I'm like, could you put on headphones? Or I was like, I think I'm going to go to the lobby downstairs and get just see if they have Diet Coke.
I'm just going to go get some fresh air. You got to take a walk. Yeah, you can't.
Lie.
No, that's too early into a relationship to let that go.
We need to do a petition and be like, hotels, if you don't have a closing bathroom door, this is not allowed to be called a hotel. This is like a short stay. Like, call it something else. But I deserve, we all deserve, a closing bathroom door.
No.
And capitalism is taking
it from us. That it should be disclosed when you book the room. FYI, This doesn't have a door on the bathroom. It's just a barn door that really doesn't give you any privacy. And also, every time you close it, you're going to think you broke it. Because it's like it fucking came off its wheels.
Every time.
And it never really shuts. And then it bounces back open. All of this has to be disclosed.
There's about a 2-inch crack. So the fecal particles will be drifting into where you sleep. Yeah,
you can pass something through. I could hand my phone through.
This should be illegal. Somebody should call somebody.
Yeah. This 2025 is the year.
Your Honor, I would like to. Change. I have a grievance.
Oh. I have already.
She's.
Decided this is globally
right to jail
immediately, and you got to shut your hotel down until you get doors in all of them. Figure it out. I don't know. Condemned. If you can't open a door, figure out a way to do one that closes and latches better than the barn door.
A pocket door, perhaps.
Yeah, a pocket door. Still not great. Better than a barn door.
But it would seal shut and not have...
You have a lock. There's not even a lock on a barn door.
No, I'm unsafe.
No.
Because even if you latched it, just pop it up off the tracks.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
These
are the real issues.
You're like, what are you doing in there? I know you got this locked, but I got a bird's eye view. You're just looking straight
in. This is me on my toilet with my phone in my hand like, what?
Get out of here.
Leave me.
Oh, man.
Ugh, horrible. Well, thank you, Becca.
We'll start at change.org about these barn doors and get the. We're really going to tackle the real issues in 2025.
That's what we're here. We're here to do. Well, thank you, Becca, for sharing that. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Good to hear from you.
I appreciate you not going anonymous in solidarity. Truly. Yes.
We stand together or we fall as one. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right. Well, this last one is from Jay, and her subject line is, "Help, I might be psychic and I am not ready for this burden. Dear Sinisterhood, I hope this Freaky Friday submission finds you well. I've recently decided I'm showing late signs of psychic ability, and I need you two to help me decide if that's true. For some background information, I just finished my first semester of my sophomore year in college. Exciting stuff, really. I definitely do not feel like I'm growing up too fast. I'm definitely ready to turn 20 in a month. I'm definitely ready for adulthood. Not. I'm fucking terrified. And my emerging psychic abilities are not helping. This last semester, my roommate and I started a radio show on campus. It has honestly been my best decision this year, up until recently. My roommate and I had one show left until winter break, so we decided the whole show would be our highlights from this semester and our predictions for 2025. Since December 17th, two have already come to fruition, and I think another is on the way. I will explain each prediction and how it manifested in chronological order. My first prediction that came true was that there would be some sort of copycat CEO killer. On the morning of December 17th, an employee at Anderson Express Incorporated stabbed the president of the company. This is definitely a weak piece of evidence considering it happened the morning of the day of my predictions, but I had not seen any news of this until after I had created my predictions. Luigi Mangione's actions have definitely started a movement within the working class, so a copycat killer was bound to happen. But it is very interesting to me that one happened the day of me creating my predictions. My second prediction, and the most scary in my mind, was that something would happen to the Eiffel Tower. When discussing on air with my roommate, I specified I didn't think it would come down completely, but that something would happen. I said that I thought it would be along the lines of what happened to the Notre Dame. Well, guess fucking what? the Eiffel Tower caught on fire today, December 24th, 2024. Well, the Eiffel Tower did not actually catch on fire. I'm sorry, but I had to clickbait. What actually happened was a short circuit of a power rail on an elevator, which set off the Eiffel Tower fire alarms. While this isn't the specifics of what I predicted, considering what I wrote in my notes was that the Eiffel Tower was going to come down, it is something. My final prediction, and the one I think is going to happen soon, is that some government document is going to be declassified and it will confirm some conspiracy theory. This, paired with my prediction that the New Jersey drones are Amazon or Elon Musk's skivvies, tie in perfectly to your last couple episodes. I can't remember if it was the UFO episode or the most recent Freaky Friday, but at the end, you referenced a reputable source who thinks some major stuff is going to come out in January 2025. While all of these are definitely just coincidental, I'd like to believe it is late-stage psychic ability showing. In all honesty, it's probably just good pattern recognition and good guessing, considering I am pretty tied in to all related stuff. I've attached a screenshot of my note with all my predictions. At the top, there's a timestamp showing I have not edited the note since 7:30 p.m. on December 17th. So, what do you think? P.S. Feel free to share any of the predictions you might feel come true.
Oh, Jay, I saved this one for last because we got a lot of predictions. First of all, amazing to start a radio show. What a fun and productive thing to do, a creative thing that's something you can take ownership over.
Hell yeah.
I love that. I also love that it seems like your show started off with your top moments from the semester, which I feel like just – I want to live vicariously back in my college days for a minute through Jay. We've got running down the hallway after Halloween. Don't know what that's about, but sounds super fun.
It sounds incredible.
No noise complaints. When you know I hate noise. My friend's giving mac and cheese. Going to put you that down for next November.
Yes, you have friends to have a Friendsgiving, and also there was mac and cheese there. Definite perfect highlight.
Voting. Always the privilege. Now, here's where I got a question for you, Heather. Hugging Professor Bailey twice in all caps. Now, do we think Professor Bailey is a super hot professor, or is Professor Bailey like a Severus Snape type?
I was thinking curmudgeon.
To get a hug from them is like the end all be all. And you got it twice.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the latter because I was thinking of my law school professor, the one that I ended up working with, who was very serious. And when I first saw him after I graduated, I hugged him and he was like, "Hi, Heather."
He's just arms to the side, like doesn't even move.
My bad. He might not want to hug me. But yeah, I imagine that. I don't know. But you can clarify with us, Jay, whether
please. Picks are welcome. The Rizzometer of Nicole, hell yeah. Fornit lover. Don't know what that is, but it made the top six. Now we get into the 2025 predictions of Jay and company and what they think might be going down.
There's so many to choose from, but we can read a selection of them.
Yeah.
I think this starting off with the New Jersey drones are actually just Amazon or Elon Musk. I feel like that dovetails with a tweet from Elon Musk, and I don't have it directly in front of me, but...
Good.
He's
if
something
you did,
that
I'd be like, why do you have Elon Musk's Twitter up?
A screenshot. No, said something like, you all aren't ready for what you're about to learn or something. He said something that sort of people were like, well, he's horrific. So this could be like really bad news.
Yeah, sounds threatening.
Others that are more in like the UAP non-human entity disclosure, like, oh, this means that like Trump's going to like disclose it and whatever. I also have just heard that Elon Musk is like, or his brother are donating these drones to, for whatever reason, because his brother owns like a drone company.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
There might be some connection.
Family of villains, basically.
Yeah, they're all villains, you know, whatever. Well, I'm glad that the New York City ball drop did not go horribly wrong.
That was, yes, that we made it out alive with that one. We got Frank Ocean album drop. I
Fingers
would love
crossed.
That. Let's get that on the books.
Make it happen.
Some sort of conspiracy theory is going to be confirmed. What theory do you think?
That's a great one. Whether Trump has repeatedly said he would release the JFK files, will he? Will they let him? I don't know. Or
yeah, I don't think he's allowed to have that knowledge.
He's like, I've decided. Like, sir, we actually don't even show other presidents that we keep it in a secret vault for the DOD. So maybe something like that, or just more of the reversed technology from wherever it's from, non-human, foreign, interdimensional, mm-hmm. maybe some more confirmation. Because I think the legislators are very angry that they haven't been told like how this money is being spent. Mm-hmm. And now that Immaculate Constellation's coming out going like, you're spending money on something. Yeah. These people are saying you're spending it on alien bodies and ships. What is it? And then it's going to be like, it's alien bodies.
It's alien bodies and ships. It's alien bodies and ships.
Can we keep having the money though? And they're like, yeah, sure. Sounds like you need it. You're doing stuff with it.
Oh, well, I like, we get very niche with a celebrity is going to have a very public asthma attack at the Met Gala.
You heard it here first.
This could is niche. Could it happen? Sure.
Also, I just want to say Amanda Bynes is going to make a recovery. Literally before we started recording today, and I had not read this full list, I was watching Amanda Bynes on TikTok, mm-hmm. and she has her art show just opened, and it was footage of her like greeting patrons at her art show. And she's like, someone just bought that one. Thank you so much for buying my art. And they were like, I can't wait to hang it. It's going to be great. And she's like, okay, where are you from? And like, she sounds great. Mm-hmm. She's creating art. She has like an art show. So I want her voice. Sounds like an old, like the playful, happy childlike mm-hmm. that we were used to hearing. So hopefully she is making it.
Yeah, we're all rooting for her.
Certainly.
Absolutely. We've got a drug that actually expands your lifespan. Now that mm-hmm. would be, that is something that Elon Musk, I'm sure, already has developed in his secret lab/lair that he takes for himself. Neuralink. But maybe we all get access to it.
Yeah, there's some kind of secret go-go juice or something mm-hmm. I bet we're going to find. Or like, we've been taking this that's normally a treatment for this illness and we've used it to like extend your life or whatever.
And last but not least, colored toilet paper. We're going to see it. 2025, you guys.
It's coming back. It's coming back.
Was it a thing at one point?
I have used blue and pink toilet paper in my life that I thought, this is interesting.
I've used some that looked like money.
Okay. That's like joke.
Yeah, like $100 bills, mm-hmm, just, mm-hmm. you know, like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember any colored ones. But if toilet paper starts getting fun, I'm on board.
Am I dreaming that? Message in. Because I really feel like I have a very clear memory as a child of having, not like we had it at our house. We had like Angel Soft always at our house because it was like $1.99 or whatever. But
Angel Soft, is that the one with the bears? No, that's Charmin.
No, that's Charmin.
Angel Soft's good too, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a family favorite, certainly. But I feel like going to someone's like grandma's house and they would have like it matched their bathroom. But maybe I'm making that up.
Oh,
I
really now like that you real. Think. Yeah. Like a pink. Light pink.
Like a pastel pink.
Yeah. Because did your grandma also have on the back of the toilet the crocheted toilet paper cover?
Oh, yeah. You can also put it over like they made the ones for tissue boxes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Or like a carpeted toilet seat cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those in are the best. Carpeted bathroom.
Yeah.
There Fantastic. Was so much carpet so good. And fabric in bathrooms back then.
Makes you want to erp, as my grandmother would say. But I would be interested in seeing why it was a different color, because I've been thinking, like, do I want to change to, like, bamboo or, like, sustainable?
Yeah.
I got a targeted ad from Alicia Silverstone, and I love her so much. And She's I was great. Like, maybe I do need to switch to, like, a more sustainable toilet paper. So maybe the pink or the blue one's going to come through for
the
me.
The problem what a is – the pink or the blue. The problem is – And please, if you have a sustainable teepee that you love, let mm-hmm. us know. Most of them, it just kind of falls apart. It's not great.
We'll see. I got to test it out. I have it in my, I went to the cart, but I haven't like followed through yet. So maybe that'll be one of my 2020 changes. Because I go through a lot of it and I got to stop tearing down entire rainforest sections my ass.
For real. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Somehow. I asked for a bidet for my birthday.
Nice.
My bidet day.
Happy bidet to you. Happy bidet to you. I want that Toto. I dream of that toilet that you and I share.
That's what I said to Tommy. I go, ask Heather. There was one in Montreal. It was great.
The Toto.
I think about it all the time.
Oh, God. I think I have photos and videos of it. God, it was so good. Y'all, the rest of the world is living better than we are. We're in the Stone Age here, just rubbing paper on our asses.
For a lot of reasons. But a lot of reasons not to. But Montreal's got the lockdown on
bidets. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Man, what a list. Well, thank you so very much, Jay, for sharing your predictions with us. These are wild. And I look forward to seeing something in the news. Oh, wait. One last one.
It's probably the one that you were going to say.
Wait, which one were you going to say?
J.D. Vance is going to roll his ankle and it will be a GIF. I love it.
That's literally what caught my eye. And I was like, no, hang on a minute.
Wait a second. Yeah.
So the moment all of us see J.D. Vance roll his ankle and eat shit like an idiot, and it turns into like, or we add something funny to it. You're going to be like, Jay is psychic. On a serious note, Jay, if you're interested in exploring your psychic side, check out the Institute for Noetical Sciences. It was created by Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo astronaut. He has a book. He has several books, but one of them is like psychic exploration. So, and also the Division of Perceptual Sciences at the University of Virginia, they have a page where it's all of the like scientific research and books that have been done and kind of these studies of like testing and check the telepathy tapes, like testing predictive people, testing remote viewing, like real scientists, including our government and major educational institutions, have been studying stuff this. So you don't have to just wander around in decades. The dark alone.
Yeah,
check them out.
The person that we referenced that we had major stuff coming out in January of 2025, could you be speaking of Bashar? Is that what we were talking about?
Oh, I think you're talking about Greer. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. The former CIA operative. I believe
something like that. Yeah.
I can't remember his title entirely, but yes.
Yeah. I just saw a long podcast episode and I don't remember the name of it, but it was posted on the UFO subreddit and there's a lot of like discussion on like what they're saying in it, but it was like 6 or 8 like physicists, scientists discussing the type of technology that Lou Elizondo referred to. They're not necessarily saying, oh, this is alien technology. They're just discussing like stuff that's beyond any capabilities that, you know, most of us have heard, just kind of cutting edge science. And it's just interesting how well it dovetails with some of the claims that have been made. So I don't know, maybe we'll see some declassified shit soon. Yeah.
Well, if we're going to take bets on what will 100% happen, I'm going J.D. Vance rolls his ankle and becomes a GIF.
Fingers crossed. You know what? If we all think, okay, consciousness means we're all one. Mm-hmm. That means if we all get in our minds, focus quietly, imagine J.D. Vance rolling his ankle. Imagine what it looks like. Imagine the grass that he's walking on. He doesn't see the divot. He rolls his ankle. He's not grievously injured, but his pride is ruined forever.
He's getting off. Does he ride Air Force One? Does the VP ride Air Force One?
I think they get Air Force Two.
He's getting off Air Force Two. His tie and shit is just blowing everywhere. No one can get off a helicopter and not look insane. And then, yeah, he's walking across the lawn and just...
And he's like... Burp. After he says something, I want it to be he says something shitty in a microphone to a reporter and then turns around like he's about to just like sass walk off. And then I want to see him eat shit. Again, not grievously injured, but I feel like a rolled ankle and that turns into a GIF is a win for all
of us. That's not a big... He might be laid up for a couple days, but you're fine.
He tweeted a picture of himself with his face superimposed on the woman serving the turkey at the Norman Rockwell dinner while Donald Trump was the daddy. So he's got a sense of humor, I guess.
He's got something.
That's one way to put it. Well, don't we all? Don't we all? Well, thank everybody for being here.
Yes. Thank you all so much for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free just to see what we're up to. We also release an archived bonus content once a month for free members, or you can join at a tier, and I'm going into the thousands for 2025. I think it's 1,000 hours of bonus content at this point.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And all of those free bonus contents that have been released are out there. So when you sign up as a free member today, there's like a back catalog of free stuff to even listen to before you even jump into the thousands of hours. Well, once you have joined on Patreon, you will get access to your Patreon merch discount, depending on what level you're at. And you can use that to head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes, as well as clips from Freaky Friday on YouTube. Follow us while you still can on TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. Just kidding. We'll keep posting even after the ban.
We
found a way.
My stomach is in knots over this, and I'm not even playing.
As we're envisioning J.D. Vance's ankle roll, we are watching it in June on TikTok.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so it will be here. And if you would like custom video shout outs from us to give you happy birthday, happy new year, congratulations, a pep talk, whatever, find us over at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at on the computer?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.